Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Todd Albaugh Show for a Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022. 6 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Todd, along with Mr. Zommers, Aaron, that is, our producer-engineer, who will be in with us next hour with one of his board games, an enjoyable activity for you and your family over the Thanksgiving weekend. Are you going anywhere, Aaron, or just kind of sticking around here this holiday?
I will be going back to Manitowoc to visit my family.
Beautiful Manitowoc. That's a beautiful part of the state, and over there next to the Lake Michigan shoreline. So enjoy that wherever you're going. We were talking, Aaron and I were talking yesterday when this news broke of UW Richland being closed by the UW system and UW Platteville. And I was talking to you about an individual by the name of John Poole, who was the ended up being basically the second in command of the campus, but one of his main roles was as an advisor and recruiter for UW Richland across the state. And I was telling Aaron, you know, John was the guy who went on to all these little high schools and would talk to kids as they came by on career day and say, oh, what are your plans? Well, I want to go to college, but I can't afford it. Well, here, let me tell you how. Well, I'm not sure if I want to go. Well, here, let me explain it. He was the person who had got down at the level of young students and explained it to him. And what did you say? You were like, wait a minute, who is this guy?
Yeah, I asked about it. I said something along the lines of, wait a second, how long ago did he retire? And you
like,
said,
like 4 years ago, something like that.
And then I realized, you know what? That's a recent enough time that when I was in high school, I'm like 99% sure that he visited my school. And I remember the talk he gave, and it definitely had an impact on people.
So there you go. A firsthand experience. Aaron and I didn't know each other until 4 weeks ago. And John Poole shows up in Manitowoc, way over by Lake Michigan, to recruit students to UW Richland, and Aaron still remembers it all these years later. That's the kind of individual John Poole was, still is, he's still with us, just retired, but that was a key item of what kept UW Richland going. And after he retired, they never replaced, you can't replace John Poole, but they never fully funded the position for a recruitment person for that campus. We're going to talk more about this. We're not over yet by a long shot, because this is a story that has deep impacts economically, culturally, socially, educational-wise for Southwest Wisconsin. And there's a bigger story here of the state of higher education, of the UW system, and a lack of representation from the state legislature. And we're going to dive all through it. First, though, we're going to tell you quickly what's making news otherwise on this Wednesday, the 23rd of November. Weather-wise, if you are traveling today for the holiday, you're going to encounter pretty nice roads unless you're way up north. Southwest Wisconsin near WRCE and Richland Center. Sunny skies and 51 today for Thanksgiving. Partly cloudy and looks like maybe a chance of drizzle in the afternoon and a high near 48. If you're up in Wausau today, expect sunny skies and 43. Tomorrow for Turkey Day, a bit of drizzle and fog in the morning, otherwise cloudy and a high near 42. Amory up in WXCE in the northern part of the state, that's where things may get just a tad dicey. Today, sunny, a high of 39, but on Thanksgiving, a slight chance of snow in the morning, and then drizzle throughout the day. So a high of 37 up at Amory tomorrow. So do drive carefully. Also, other headlines this morning, another mass shooting, unfortunately, once again in the headlines, this time in Chesapeake, Virginia. At least 6 are dead, 4 are injured that we know of in another mass shooting last night in a Walmart there. The gunman, according to some reports, took his own life in that incident. The U.S. Supreme Court refuses to intervene, so that means the Trumpster will have to release his tax records. In fact, they will be released by the IRS to the House Committee investigating Trump's dealings with his taxes. The Supreme Court last night refused to step in and intervene in that matter. 55 million people traveling this weekend, according to AAA, over the weekend. If you're one of them, do so carefully. Dr. Anthony Fauci, in what could be his final briefing before he steps down as the president's top medical advisor, announces a 6-week push by the Biden administration to urge everyone to get their COVID-19 booster before the holidays, particularly those who are seniors or compromised immune systems. And in sports, the reason if you're tuning in on Facebook or Twitter and you can see me, I am wearing my Brady Ewing UW-Madison football jersey, my lucky number 34 jersey that went to the Rose Bowl. Wonderful experience. Sadly, didn't come out quite the way we had all hoped. I blame that on officiating, but that's another story for another day. But channeling some Rose Bowl energy, some Brady Ewing walk-on energy at Axe Week. And if you Google Axe Week and you put Brady Ewing in, there's a great photo of Brady holding the axe the year that they won it. I believe it was every week every year. I think that Brady played. I think they won the axe game. A long standing streak there. So if you are a Wisconsin Badger fan, tune in. If you're not going to Camp Randall on Saturday afternoon, you can tune in right here on WRCE in Richland Center to the Badger Sports Network on Learfield Sports, or you can watch it on TV starting at 2:30 this afternoon, and you can watch that game, the Big Axe Week game. When we come back, we are going to dive deeper. After the break here, I have a couple minutes yet, but we're going to dive deeper into this whole subject of the possible or not, the closure, basically, of UW-Richland and why it's so important. And our two guests last hour, Richland County Board Chair Marty Brewer and also Education Chair Linda Gentis, both explained very well why this impacts the county, but not just Richland County, but all counties with university institutions. We'll dive deeper into the subject. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show. On Wisconsin for you on a Wednesday, Axe Week for the University of Wisconsin football team. University of Wisconsin, a great institution. UW-Richland, also a great institution. However, it is facing closure this morning, as it was announced yesterday by the UW system that it will be closing the Richland campus. Going to dive more into the subject here at 9:15 on a Wednesday morning. Reading from the article today in the top of the fold, front page of the Wisconsin State Journal by Kimberly Wethall, who wrote this the article, because I think it's important to understand the backstory a little bit here as we dive into deeper what led to this day. This was not a failure by people on the ground in Richland Center or Richland County. There were other forces outside of them that led to this closure. The first closure of a UW institution in the history of our state. All right? So it's a pretty big deal. And there are reasons beyond what's being told of why this happened. I picked the story up here in the Wisconsin State Journal after it said that this announcement came out yesterday. It says the Richland Center campus enrolled just 60 students this fall, the fewest of all two-year branch campuses. Enrollment has plummeted since 2014, when there were 567 students enrolled. 567 students enrolled at UW-Richland in 2014. Today, there's 60. Seems a little fishy, right? To the average person, you'd say, well, somebody really messed up. Yes, they did, but not locally. I'd also like to just point out real quick, I'll just an egregious plug for my former boss, and I'm not saying this is the only reason. This is not by a long shot, but I do think it's curious. All right, that Dale Schultz represented the Richland campus, the Richland Center area, until his retirement in the end of 2014. Howard Markline's been the state senator there since January of 2015, and enrollment at Richland campus has gone during that time from 267 students to 60. All right, I'm not going to pin all of this on one person, but it sure as heck is a large part of the responsibility of a state senator to take care of your institutions within your Senate district. And I'm not talking out of school here. If he were on the air right now, I think he's in a deer stand right now. Dale's a big hunter. The holidays for the Schultzes start at deer hunting and it ends on New Year's Day. And it's a fantastic time of year. Dale is a wonderful representative and a wonderful guy. But if he were here, he would agree with me because he's said this publicly before. He was not always the easiest person to work for. He was a demanding guy. He took his job seriously and he expected the same of his staff. And it was not rare at maybe 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning when I was still in bed to get a call from Dale as he was driving on his way up to Nisida for a breakfast meeting with local officials. And he'd sing to me, oh, how I hate to get up in the morning when I can't get out of bed. And I thought, oh, my God, shut up. Just like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And he'd laugh. And he'd say, hey, I'm looking up my calendar, and I haven't met with the dean at Richland or at Platteville in over a month. What's going on? You understand, he was on top of this. And it wasn't just Dale. State Representative, now the late State Representative, Cheryl Elbers from Reedsburg, also represented the Richland campus. Cheryl was not always liked by people in her party. And you want to know one of the big reasons why? Because she actually read things. Cheryl was ended up being an attorney. But even before she was an attorney, all the minutiae of a bill, she would actually read it. And then when she would get up and she'd say, well, you know, I'm looking here at subparagraph 2, parent 5, subparagraph A, and what does this mean? And people were like, how do you know that? Because I read the bill. That's the kind of fight that Cheryl Elbers had. Whether you agreed with all of her politics or not, she was tenacious in supporting her constituents. The same as Dale. Even Dave Brandemule, who I didn't always see eye to eye with, from Fenimore, state representative, he was tenacious about supporting the campus and the institutions in his district. And that's what we've been missing since Howard Markline became state senator in 2015. And isn't it funny? It's not really funny. It's curious. And I will tell you, it was not a coincidence that this announcement to close the Richland campus came out a week after, guess who's re-election? Howard Markline re-elected to another four-year term. You cannot tell me that this decision wasn't already done and in the books and a done deal before the election. But see, Howie is the chair of the Joint Finance Committee, largely recognized as the most powerful committee in the state because it sets the state budget. The Joint Finance Committee is the giver of funds. It's also the top spot if you want to raise money for your campaign because guess what? All the special interests want to give you money to get on your good side so that you will appropriate money for their clients when the budget comes around. That's what makes that position the most powerful position in the state legislature aside from the majority leader and the assembly speaker. So Howard's in charge of the money, all right? We have over $6 billion surplus in the state right now. And Republicans want to give you a check for a couple of $100, but they don't want to fund a recruitment position at UW-Richland to make sure that we have a viable economic engine in Richland County. And that's the whole heart of this, right? Whether you agree with Republican or Democrat agenda, whether you agree with supporting the educational value, I think most people in Richland County would say, well, I hear it all the time. I was the chamber director 20 years ago in Richland County. And I hear it now even when I'm there. Well, we got to bring more business into Richland County. And there are wonderful people helping and working to do that. And there have been successes. Richland County is one of the poorest counties in Wisconsin. The population is leaving Richland County. The last thing Richland County needs is a key economic engine, UW-Richland, to leave. Because it brings in money to the area. So even if you're not a big fan of higher education, even if you're not a big fan of progressive ideas, I think everybody can agree that we want, whether it's business or higher education institutions, we want things in our community that make us money, that help lower the tax burden. Because that's the other thing. Richland County is essentially broke. They don't have enough money to keep going for various reasons that we won't get into right now on this show. But as the county board chair, Marty Brewer, pointed out, the state funding for the campus has been dwindling. And as Linda pointed out, the state has given the Richland County Board less money to work with, which means guess who has to pick up the burden? Local taxpayers. And it's not just for the campus. It's for shared revenue across the board. And that's why the Richland County Board also has sponsored another resolution with the Wisconsin Counties Association. This is Resolution 22-71, a resolution imploring the state of Wisconsin to increase state shared revenue and state highway aids for Richland County. It says, whereas annual state shared revenues for the state of Wisconsin and Richland County have dropped 10% between 2001 and 2021 from $1.36 million in 2001 to $1.22 million in 2021, and whereas the price of consumer price index shows that price increased 43% during that time, Richland County's state shared revenue had kept pace with inflation. The second amount of the state shared revenue in 2021 would have been $2.1 million. So the point is, and isn't it funny? Let me just take it aside. Remember the gubernatorial debate, the governor's debate between Tony Evers and Tim Michaels? He was asked, the question was about what are your positions on shared revenue? It was clear that Tim Michaels didn't even understand what shared revenue was. It's not difficult to understand. It's your shared revenue is the tax dollars that you and I pay, and then the legislature decides how much of that money comes back to your local municipality to pretty much use as it sees fit for items such as the campus in Richland County, for items such as fixing our roads. Shared revenue under Republican leadership, while Howard Markline has been the joint finance chair, has been dwindling. They've been keeping more of our tax money, and for what? Our rainy day fund right now is fully funded at the highest level it's ever been. We have money in the bank for a rainy day. Republicans could keep harping that they want to score political points and pay it back and just give us back our money. Fine. But they keep holding on to it. Meanwhile, our roads, our county boards have to keep putting more money in. Our sheriff's departments don't have the funding for vehicles. Richland County is considering a resolution in the spring simply to keep going, like a school referendum, because of the cutting of shared revenue going to Richland County. Meanwhile, Howard Markline gets reelected. Other Republicans get elected. And I'm sick and tired of this edict or this marketing ploy of saying, well, Republicans want local control. Democrats just take your money and they keep it and they spend it on big things. That's a crack of crap. Because look at what they're doing. Follow the money. Have you written to Howard Markline lately? Because I talked to several people last night who have from the Richland County area about problems that they're having with government. And Howard's key response apparently is, well, that's a matter of local control. I don't want to usurp local control. That's great, Howard, except when it comes to fracking. And Howard voted to usurp the local control of county board, so you can't decide where fracking occurs in Richland County or anywhere else in the state. That's now the state. Howard's for local control, and Republicans are for local control, except when it comes for major wells and taking away your drinking water. Howard's for local control, except when big business pays him off in a funding of a campaign finance or a campaign contribution, and they want to do this project down by Milwaukee. for the Taiwanese company. You're going to have all these jobs. How about up in northern Wisconsin, the mining bill? How much money was given to Republicans for that mining bill going to create all these jobs? How many jobs have been created? About zero. Yeah, I'm a little hot today. Sorry. I'm not sorry, actually. This is why Civic Media is here. This is why we are here, to explore the truth. We'll have more on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. What's that, Aaron?
Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning.
I didn't recognize it first. Yes, that's very good. It's exactly what Dale used to sing to me when he'd be on the road at 6 a.m. traveling to a far district, Berg, and to meet with people. And he'd be like, I've got half the day in already. And he was right. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9:33. On a Wednesday. Going to be a beautiful day if you're traveling today, pretty much anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. If you're down, if you're around the WRCE, Richland Center area today, look for sunny skies and a high of 51. Perhaps some drizzle tomorrow on Thanksgiving and a high of 48. Up in Wausau, Wisconsin, expect a sunny sky today and 43. Thanksgiving looks like some patchy drizzle, a little fog in the morning. Otherwise, a high of 42. And over in Amory today, sunny and 39. And on Thanksgiving, perhaps a bit of snow and some drizzle throughout the day. A high is only at 37 up in the Amory area tomorrow for Thanksgiving. Wherever you are going, please get there safely. We've been talking this morning about the closure of the UW-Richland campus and why it's important to the entire state. If you would like to call in and weigh in, whether or not you agree with me or not, I am happy to take your call, happy to let you have the platform, give your opinion. Give us a call, toll-free this morning. The area code is 715-388-7155. We are looking for your thoughts and opinions on the closure of the Richland campus, higher education, or anything else you want to discuss this morning. We'll take all callers. Give us a call, toll-free, again, 715-388-7155. Area code 715-388-7155. Aaron will take your call off the air and we'll put you in queue and we'll get you on just as soon as possible. Back to the story in the Wisconsin State Journal today on the closure, or the announced closure, in essence, of the Richland campus. It says enrollment declines at system two-year campuses prompted the Board of Regents to merge all of its two-year campuses with the system's four-year universities at the start of the 2018 school year. Richland Center and Baraboo were paired with UW-Platteville. In his letter, Rothman, the president now of the UW system, acknowledged UW-Platteville's good faith effort to stabilize enrollment, noting those efforts have not worked. Quote, while the University of Wisconsin system remains committed to the branch campuses and to providing a broad access for students as possible, there comes a time when financial pressure and low enrollments make it in-person degree-level academic instruction no longer tenable, unquote. The majority of the two-year branch campuses have been seeing declines in enrollment in at least the last 10 years. Even so, all the campuses but Richland Center still count hundreds of students, with UW-Platteville at Baraboo the second smallest at 216. Rothman said in an interview Monday that branch campuses have experienced the same phenomena of declining enrollment that other community and technical colleges around the nation have faced. The proposal by then-system president Ray Cross to merge the campuses 5 years ago was intended to shore up the institution's unstable operations while preserving access to education in those rural counties. Let me just say again. The enrollment in 2015 at UW-Richland was over 500 students. So a couple of years later, then President Ray Cross is going to say, well, it's just not stable. We have to do something different. No. No, it wasn't that at all. It was because then Republican Scott Walker was putting pressure on Ray Cross because they wanted to cut the funding for education across the board in the state. They wanted to score political points with their base. Academics are under attack. I will tell you that in closed caucuses, Republicans said in closed caucuses, anytime my former boss Dale Schultz would bring up and say, well, because he had friends, both Republican and Democrat at UW. Former history professor John Sharpless, a Republican who ran for Congress. I worked on his campaign. A Republican who happened to work in academia. And Dale would say, well, I was talking to so-and-so, and he would get interrupted by his own colleagues in the state Senate and immediately dismissed and say, well, it's your first problem. Your first problem's talking to those left-wing academia. These were Republicans. So Walker and the Republicans have had a war on education since 2011. And the higher ed is no different. So there was pressure being put on Ray Cross as president to cut funds. And instead of doing what he said he would do, Ray Cross, and resign before he gave in too much, he gave in. And then he couched it with, well, this is actually going to help our institutions. I read on from the Wisconsin State Journal article today. The Richland Center campus offers programs in general ed, business administration, ag, hospitality, and pre-engineering. Interim campus dean Brandon Flattery, not a good day for Mr. Flattery, not flattering at all. Guess what? He did not respond to a request for a comment. Well, I'll tell you why. I tried three different ways to get a hold of a live body at the Richland campus. And had it not been for I was having an ear surgery in the middle of the afternoon yesterday, I would have driven out there. Because guess what? You can't get a hold of a live body at the Richland campus. You get a voicemail for Eric Huffman, who I guess isn't even there anymore. It's nearly impossible. Then I tried calling the chancellor's office at UW-Platteville. The only number I could find was for the registrar. Some poor woman there answered the phone very politely. She transferred me to the chancellor's office. And guess what? Nada, zilch, a voicemail. That's it. I haven't heard back. Got my cell phone right here, been looking at it the whole show. Haven't had a call back from the chancellor's office in Platteville. So it's no wonder that Dean Unflattery, did not respond to the State Journal. He is the dean of the Richland campus, and he is nowhere to be found. My poor grandmother, Marge Wallace, who was the dean there for several years, would be livid. Livid. Not just as a decision, but she was someone who believed, right or wrong, you go out there and you face the music. If there's bad news to give, you're going to be the one to give it because you're in charge. Inexcusable. Dean Flattery. The article continues. Nationwide community colleges and technical schools were hit harder in the pandemic than 4 years earlier, or 4 year schools rather. In 2021, fall enrollment dropped 10%, and enrollment by students who are Black, Hispanic, or Indigenous dropped nearly 30%. Well, I wonder why. There is nobody recruiting those students anymore. I wonder why enrollment dropped. You cut your international program. I wonder why enrollment dropped with minority students. My grandma, when she was dean, got in her car and she drove, and she personally helped recruit in places like Milwaukee, as did John Poole. As did my dad, who was actually athletic director at UW-Richland and the wrestling coach back in the 70s. He recruited people from all over the state. The article continues. Rothman, system president, said in the letter that the status quo is no longer sustainable at Richland Center. That's right, President Rothman. Your lack of involvement and the cutting of funds is not sustainable. I'll give you that. Quote, each of the branch campuses have a different strategy about what is going on, what is going to look like going forward, Rothman said Monday in of the plans to turn enrollment around. Quote, but we've got to address that, and we have to have the branch campuses be sustainable in the long run. It's easy to see the impact of UW-Richland in southwestern Wisconsin According to Richland Center Tourism Coordinator Marty Richards, who said, quote, you drive down the road and every house on these rural rustic roads, you point at it and either a parent or multiple kids attended the campus for a period of time over the last 50 years. For our community, it was really a source of pride. And Marty Richards is 100% right. Same words echoed, similar words by Richland County Board Chair Marty Brewer. Same words echoed by Linda Gentis, County Board Supervisor. Is a source of pride. Like Marty Brewer said, when you drive into the camp or when you drive into Richland Center on Highway 14 coming into town, you see the high school and you see this beautiful sprawling campus. They just redid the roofs not very long ago, copper roofs. The theater is literally called the Copper Top Theater. It's a source of pride. Richards, moving on to the article, Richards called the move to end instruction at Richland Center's campus premature and said he feels that closing the campus was a goal from the start of consolidation. Quote, there is either really poor management and has been from the start, or there was a plan from the start, and that's what they walked out to the result we have today. He's absolutely right. Macy Wood, a freshman of the Richland Center campus, said she's not surprised the campus will end instruction next fall based on how small her enrollment is. Wood said she chose to enroll there because it allows her to live at home and attend school, saving, quote, a reasonable amount of money compared to a four-year campus. Quote, it's sad because it's so convenient for students who want to save money and live near or at home. Due to this significant decision, I will have to switch campuses, which will likely mean I'll have to commute further or move away from home. This is why people like my grandmother and others believed in these two-year campuses. It was literally an extension of the Wisconsin idea, which is to say the borders of the state are the borders of our university. It was bringing hope to people in poor communities at a reasonable cost. It was allowing people to do better and their kids to do better than they did before them. That was the dream of the campus, and still is. But Republicans in the legislature have continued to cut local funding, and this was a setup from the beginning. If you want to move down further, let's take a look at UW-Platteville. There's an interim dean right now, Tammy Ivanovich. Because the former dean took a job down in Louisiana, Dennis Shields, okay? Here's what you need to know about Dennis Shields, the former chancellor of Platteville. He never really wanted to be there. An avid Democrat in a small town in southwest Wisconsin, paid well, I guess, and he had a vision. And you know what? I'll give Shields credit. The vision was to create the best engineering program in the state of Wisconsin, perhaps only second to UW-Madison. And you know what? By and large, he has done that. He did that. Funding was given to Platteville to build new facilities for their engineering campus, to build new housing. And it has become a premier engineering campus in the tri-state. There was the tri-state initiative, which allowed students from Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota to pay the same tuition that Wisconsin students would have to lure them, to bring them to UW-Platteville, the Tri-State Initiative. Successful. But that's all that Shields cared about. I sat in a lot of meetings with former Chancellor Dennis Shields. And Dennis Shields was about two things, himself and his vision and his program that made him look good. And again, that helped Platteville along the way, don't get me wrong. But when this merger happened, or restructuring, that put Baraboo and Richland back in with Platteville, I said, that's it. Not because I'm smart or I'm a great prognosticator. I'm not saying that. It's because I had the opportunity to sit in private meetings with a lot of these people involved, and I knew what was in their heads. I knew what they really thought. And when Platteville had to absorb Richland and Baraboo was kind of like, well, they're in a more populous area, there's more money in the Baraboo community. We can kind of merge with the businesses in Wisconsin Dells. But Richland, Richland campus was an albatross around former Chancellor Dennis Shields' neck, and he never had any interest in it. He resented it. And therefore, there was no ambition to put money into the program. And they starved the Richland campus. Your calls when we come back, 715-388-7155. Give us a call on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For the hardest blow of all is to hear the bugler call. You've got to get up, you've got to get up, you've got to get up this morning. Oh boy, the minute the battle is over. Oh boy, the minute the foe is dead. I'll put my uniform away and move to Philadelphia and spend the rest of my life in bed.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, wherever you are listening to us this morning on WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, or WXCE in Amory, Wisconsin. We welcome you in, or perhaps, just perhaps, you're like some of the smart, cool kids in the room. You went to your smartphone and searched for Civic Media in your app store. You downloaded that puppy for free. Took you less than a minute, and then you opened it up and you went to other stations and you scroll down to WRCE News in the Center and you hit it. And bada bing, bada boom, our show came up. Not just our show, no. In the morning before us, you can listen to Up North News with our friend Pat Kreitlow. And then after us at 11, you can listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Krista Bry and her fine team. After that, we have Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, followed by Matt Flynn at 3 o'clock, and then from 4 to 6, our flagship show, The Devil's Advocate with Crudy and Dom. A good time had by all here on the Civic Media Radio Network today. Travel day for many people I know, on the road, in the skies for Thanksgiving. Looks like good travel weather today. Wausau is going to see a sunny sky in 43, Richland Center, sunny and 51, and Amory, sunny and 39. Some drizzle here and there on Thanksgiving Day. It looks like no significant icing or snow. Perhaps a bit of snow flurries up by Amory on Thanksgiving Day. But for the southern part of the state, it looks like just rain if we get any. I'm not sure what it is, Aaron. Apparently, this is it's fun, but apparently, this is the time for breaking news each and every morning. We can tell you breaking this morning. We have breaking news for you, courtesy of Molly Beck from the Wisconsin, part of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning. Breaking this morning, it appears that State Senator Alberta Darling will announce her retirement later this morning. She's 78 and has served in Madison for 32 years. She got first elected in 1992. Alberta has been influential in school choice and tax relief for years. And I actually want to credit Jay Weber with that breaking news from WISN in Milwaukee. Don't like to give the competition credit, but we have to tell the source of the information here and do it honestly. So apparently Alberta Darling leaving the state Senate. In her announcement, she is reported to will say later on this morning, or has said, I'm honored the great people of the 8th Senate District have entrusted me to be their representative in Madison for so long. I worked hard each and every day to bring the ideas and values of the state capitol. Darling says in a statement about her retirement, quote, I'm proud to be one of the original authors of the school choice program in the nation. I fought to make sure every child in the state has quality access to quality education. That is breaking news this morning. State Senator Alberta Darling, Republican, announcing she will retire and at the age of 78. Alberta got elected in 92, and she's an interesting character. I don't know why I think this story is funny, but I do, so I'm going to tell it. I was in college. I was an intern for Dale Schultz in 1992, himself just newly elected to the state Senate in a special election. And I accompanied Dale. I was a staff person, not on the taxpayer role, but in a campaign sense. We were at a fundraiser for a Committee to Elect a Republican Senate. It's the political arm of Senate Republicans. CERS is what they call it for short. There was a CERS fundraiser in Milwaukee at the Edelweiss Tours. It was like these cool boats that go on the Milwaukee River down there. which I did not get to go on, by the way. But there was an Edelweiss Tour fundraiser for SERS, Republican Senate campaign, down in Milwaukee. I drove Dale to and accompanied him to. And I remember Mike Ellis, now the late Mike Ellis. He's passed away here a couple of years ago. Mike Ellis was the Republican leader, and I can't remember whether he was majority leader at the time or minority leader, but he was the Senate Republican leader in 92. And Alberta, at the time, Alberta Darling, she was a moderate candidate for state Senate. She was not a conservative like she is now. And Mike Ellis was dressing her down, telling her what she needed to do to get elected, and he literally took her into a coat closet. And I remember passing by with Dale, and Mike Ellis was not yelling, but talking to her in a way that only Mike Ellis could. You know, look, Alberta, you gotta realize. I mean, he was right in her face, and Alberta was backed up into one of her mink coats or fur coats that she had hanging in the coat closet there at the Edelweiss Tours in Milwaukee. But it was just Dale and I. We kept walking. Dale just looked at me and raised his eyebrows, and we just kept walking. We were not going to be a part of Mike Ellis dressing down Alberta Darling in a coat closet. But that was my first interaction with Alberta Darling. Was at that event in 1992. She got elected. And then over the course of time, kind of changed a lot of her positions from more today would be called progressive ideas, and became much more conservative as her district, I guess, got conservative. A decent person. But I think as time moved along, I think maybe she had a conviction of her own heart, because I don't think in her heart she was ever kind of this super conservative person, but she was kind of caught in this trap of conservative Milwaukee radio down there and the base. And if she wanted to get reelected, she had to. She was the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee for many years, and then kind of got supplanted and thrown out of that position. And Howard Markline got put in by the conservative base within the Republican caucus. So once again, you have someone who Alberta was a thoughtful person on education, at least higher education, for at least much of her career, and worked with universities. But again, the base doesn't want thoughtful education, pro-education Republicans. They want somebody like Howard Markline, who is going to toe the line. And so Alberta got taken off as co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. And today, Alberta Darling announces that she is retiring from the state Senate. More breaking news here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to take a break here in a minute. When we come back, we're going to discuss a little bit more about how this closure at the Richland campus affects the entire state, what this means for not only the Richland community moving forward, but also the state. Number one, is there a way that this can be altered or stopped? Is it too late to save the Richland campus? We're going to try to take our show out to Richland Center next week. We're working on putting a show together and having a roundtable conversation of, is there anything yet that can be done to save the campus? If not, if it's a baked cake, then what do we do to help the community move forward? There are a lot of good folks in Richland Center, a lot of good people that have worked hard to keep this campus going. And perhaps it still can be saved. But if not, what is next? As our guest this morning, Marty Brewer, County Board Chair, and Linda Gentis, County Board Supervisor, the Chair of the Education Committee, said, there has to be a plan moving forward. Also, your calls. Give us a call, 715-388-7155. Say, Toddy, you're full of it, or Toddy, I agree with you. Or as Dick Newman used to say, Toto. If Dick's listening, Dick, give me a call. It'd be great to hear from you. 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155. More on the other side of the news. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Network. This darkness,